B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now everybody, have you heard? If you're in the game, well then the stroke's the word. Don't take no rhythm, don't take no style.
Party, was this the creepy video? This song, or was it the other one?
No, that was Rock Me Tonight.
Oh my God. One of the worst video creations of the rock era.
That ruined his career.
Ruined everything I thought about this.
His career.
The weather is cold out there, so the ice should be good tomorrow for the Bruins, right? Even though there's a Celtics game on top of the ice tonight? Even though they're going to have all that body heat?
They seem to have figured that out.
Have they?
The issues with temperature and humidity at the Garden.
T-Bone informs us that it was 90 degrees a year ago today. Thanks for that, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Appreciate that. On May 3rd of 2018, it was 90 degrees.
We're out. In May. No Yacht Rock yet.
Yeah, no Yacht Rock. Today, it is 51 degrees and cloudy at our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Wow, it is just brutal.
You could literally wear a ski jacket today and you'd be fine.
Do we have any statistics on like suicides being up or anything yet? I mean, you know, it's usually you find out these things. It happens. Like Alaska, where the sun doesn't shine for 6 months.
Well, we have turned into, one of these places where there is no spring. We have winter.
Hello, darkness, my
and it, one day it will be summer. It will be 80 and humid.
It is like a three-season thing. Summer, fall, winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no
spring is like kind of after summer now. It's got a nice weather, a long fall. The fall lasts forever.
I can't wait for those 80-degree days to come because Jim has not opened his pool yet, and he already said it's green. It's like pea soup green. If Jim waits till those 80-degree days, he's going to be able to take a spoon and put it in his water, and it's just going to stand straight up.
Tonight, low of 50, rain. Saturday, rain 60. Sunday, rain 52.
I think
Can't wait.
We're supposed to get...
Would you rather have these 3 days or go outside and say, hey, just kick me in the nuts five times?
We're supposed to...
I might go for the latter.
Wait, so if you kick me in the nuts five times, I get sunshine at 75?
What feels better?
How much time do you get between getting kicked in the nuts?
I think at this point, based on the last month and a half, I think getting kicked in the nuts five times...
Yeah, but how much of a gap do you get in the nut kicking?
Like 10 seconds.
That's not bad. Yeah. You know, if
just
you do
get
it
all
quick,
over with.
Do it quick.
I'm looking at the 10-day right now. The sun might come out for 15 minutes on Monday. We'll take it.
What time?
You're looking on the what? How many days?
What time?
The 10-day?
5 a.m.
Did you say
10-day? Oh, good. Well, I'll go outside and wait for it.
Did you say you're looking at the 10-day?
I'm looking at the 10-day.
10 days.
We have rain on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those days. Cloudy on 2 more. And sun in one of them.
The worst part about this weekend, Hardy, if you're talking about sports and stuff.
Like an 8-day, I guess.
It's not quite enough to cancel it. You're going to have to stand out there in the rain and scattered showers and all that stuff.
You're not supposed to have seasonal depression in May. That's not the month.
Jimmy Stewart still wears shorts. It's amazing.
Louis is in the car, and he's got a great subject line here. It says, why isn't the net hooked up to a sensor?
Yes. Hi. How you guys doing?
Tell me about your system and your idea for this.
Well, they got the red light and they got the green light. Why don't they figure out a way to hook up the net somehow to a sensor, and when the puck hits the net or anything like a stick or anything hits the net, the green light goes on.
You ever seen Jurassic Park, Louis? I'm thinking maybe like the electrified fence.
I like that.
Right? So anything hits that, it's like just zaps it, and that current will be able to turn those lights on and off.
About when the boy was
and then the puck also melts when it hits the netting, but that's a different problem to deal with. You can always get a new puck.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
You got enough. It's got enough.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Because I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Solak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bucks will take the shot clock violation. Celtics will have to inbound one more time. The Bucks tonight answer the bell and do what they've done all year. But the Celtics come to Milwaukee and do what they needed to do, which is to get the split. Back-to-back blowouts. And it's the Bucks tonight who answer big. The final score in Game 2, Milwaukee 123, Boston 102. The best of seven Eastern Conference semifinal is now a best of five. An earplug night at the Garden on Friday.
That is Sean Grandy, voice of the Celtics. He joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline ahead of Game 3 of this series, which happens tonight at TD Garden. Hey, Sean.
It's funny. A lot of the year was like cover your eyes, right, at the Garden. Now it'll be cover your ears tonight.
Yeah. It's kind of weird how this all worked out, huh?
I remember talking about it. We've had this conversation a lot throughout the course of the year, and I was on with you guys a lot after some bad nights at the Garden.
Yep.
And because of something of a fluke of the calendar and just being able to see how things might come together, I remember saying something almost exactly like how if they go to Milwaukee in 2 months and split those first two games, all is going to be forgotten, at least at the start.
Yeah.
You know, until the games play out. And that's really what, you know, that's really what it's turned out to be.
All right, you got, you're doing game prep for tonight. What's the one thing that, what's unusual that stands out heading into this game that makes you say,
I think the unusual thing about the series, and I remember saying it before game one, is that with all these days between games and Brad Stevens and Mike Budenholzer are here, I think a lot of these games are going to have very different fingerprints and very different feels to them, because I think the funniest line so far in the series was Mike Budenholzer basically saying, we're not going to make any adjustments. Really? Really? And of course they did completely. And that's how this thing is going to go. That's how series generally work. But when you got two guys like this who have so many clubs in their bag, you know, with options and particularly the Celtics, you know, options and combinations and different things you can do. But I think, you know, listening to Brad with you guys the other day, I think it's a matter of doing more of what they did in game one, just being better at it than they were, you know, in game two. And I think we saw there was a little hint, right? In game one, there was that 15-0 run for the Bucks in the second quarter.
Yes.
And that was a great indication of what happens in this series and how good they are and what the Bucks can do to you if you drop your guard for even a couple of minutes. And when the Celtics did it for longer than that, in game two, you saw what happened.
What do you think needs to happen for Jason Tatum to sort of get going offensively?
I think that it's got to stay in the offense and recognize, I think the frustrating thing is when, you know, in these series, it's a lot of pick your poison, right? Like Giannis had to realize, the reason Giannis had one of his worst games shooting inside the three-point line that he's ever had, certainly in the last two or three years, was because he wasn't giving what, you know, the defense wasn't giving him anything, and he was trying to force it because he felt he had to do it. And I think there's some of that with Jason Tatum. Like, sometimes the right play isn't to duck your head and drive to the basket. Sometimes the right play is just make the next pass. And one of the reasons that Jason Tatum is shooting the way he is that these aren't necessarily shots you should be taking.
Was that Kyrie's worst game as a Celtic the other night?
Probably. It's up there. Or down there, as the case may be, which makes you wonder what's going to, you know, coming off a series of his best.
You know,
coming off a 7 or 8 game run that he had in April, it was probably 7 or 8 of his top 12 or 13 games as a Celtic. I mean, it was just a extraordinary run. But I think that's fair. I think there's a little bit of what I was saying about Jason Tatum in that he was trying to force it a little bit early and get into that rhythm, and it wasn't there. And that's, again, the beauty of the Celtics is if you're out there in almost any of those five-man groups and it's not there for you, it's going to be there for somebody else.
Is it safe to assume a comeback game for Kyrie tonight after his last performance?
I think it's a pretty good bet. I don't remember the last time he had two, he hasn't had two games like that as a Celtic, because he hasn't had one game like that as a Celtic. So I think it's you know, it's very likely.
So I guess they were doing the shoot around and you're doing all the media stuff, and I guess Marcus Smart dunked. supposedly yesterday, and it came out, came by the media with a smile. There's no chance he plays in this series, right?
No, there really isn't. I mean, there's not supposed to be. We sort of said the same thing last year. And I think we talked about a lot of what surrounds him is irrational confidence, right, in the way he plays and the shots he takes and the beauty of his game in many ways is doing things that you don't think that can be done. I think there's an irrational confidence in his ability to magically return early because he's done it before and because he's Marcus Smart. And now with 3 days between games and column inches that need to be filled and video spaces on social media posts that need to be filled. Hey, look, Marcus Smart dunking. But I think one of the things that it would be important to remember, let's say he was able to come back and play a few minutes in a seventh game of the series. The same thing with Brogdon. He's coming off a significant injury, and now you're inserting him into a significant playoff series, which is a very difficult way to come back. You know, in the regular season, you miss 4 weeks. You got a game or two in the middle of February to kind of feel your way back in. You're looking at both of these guys potentially when they were, if they try to come back, if they're physically able to be cleared and walk into a late game second round series with two of the best teams in the NBA, I don't think you're going to get full Brogdon or full Marcus Smart, even if somehow they were able to return.
We're talking with Sean Grandy as we get ready for tonight's game three, Celtics and Bucks. How do you feel about where this series is going overall? I know that, you know, you look at the lopsided impact or the lopsided result of each of the first two games. This still, to me, feels like it's the Celtics series to lose. Do you feel that way?
Well, it's home when you have home court. You should feel that way. And there's so much emotion in these games. You watch a lot of these games in this round. These series so far have generally been close, but the games have not. And a lot of that can be about having two or three days between games, the change of the venue last night. I mean, you didn't expect, you know, Philadelphia's a team that's probably a little more up crazy up and down anyway, because when they have Embiid, they're really difficult to beat when Embiid looks healthy like he did last night. But we had this season has started to mirror 2010 in a lot of ways, right? Disappointing regular season, a four seed in the playoffs, then a fairly easy first round, and then significant underdogs in round two. Celtics that year in Cleveland got their split out there against what looked like an unbeatable LeBron team. We all know the Celtics won that series, but when it came back to Boston for game three and the Garden was absolutely insane, as it's going to be tonight, the Cavs had the blowout win on the road in game three. So I think that this is going to be a series, like I was saying at the start, where the games are going to be very different from one another. And so that is going to give it – all I thought at the beginning was this is probably going to be a long series, and it's going to be difficult for one team to, you know, to win it easily. And I still feel that way. I just feel like we're going to have six or seven games in this series that are going to feel very different from the one that came before it.
All right, Sean, we started our show today with Zoe taking a victory lap on a prediction he made yesterday, which was the Bruins will win 4-1, which they did last night.
Yep.
He called that.
Second one in a row.
Now it's time for you to take a victory lap. This morning it was Zoe Stradamus, and right now it's Sean Stradamus. After you predicted that the Celtics would be in this position back on February 28th. Have a listen.
Let's say the Celtics finished fourth and they beat Indiana in the first round, okay? Everything about everything that's happened now, every press conference, every bad loss, if Kyrie goes full Kyrie and the Celtics say win game two in Milwaukee and come back here 1-1 with the Garden being completely out of control, raucous, wild for some late Friday night game three, everything we're talking about, all these bad feelings, will go away.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Almost.
That's like 95% correct.
But here's the thing. If I was really good at predicting things and predicting life, I wouldn't be going into my second marriage, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus.
Wow. That is being hard on yourself.
I mean, you're really banking on this place.
That's being really hard on yourself.
There are times, once in a while, you can make a, it's not like a general statement. I remember this, when this started, the Nostradamus thing started with me a few years ago because the Celtics were, it was in 2010, they were having that really bad year, and I went on, you know, one of the shows, what's now NBC Boston, and said the Celtics will be in the Eastern Conference Finals, which was an absurd statement. But sometimes, I think you get caught up in wherever you are. And I've always felt when you're losing, it feels like you'll never win again, and when you're winning, it feels like you'll never lose again. And sometimes, history is a better guide and how things tend to even out. So at that point of the season, it was the trajectory of that. So this was certainly, it didn't seem like, it seems like Nostradamus now, but it wasn't the craziest thing in the world to think the Celtics would finish fourth and win in the first round. And knowing that with the emotions of everything, that it was such a difficult regular season, that if you got to hit that reset button, which they did, and you could somehow have home court advantage to get to the conference finals, that's all this, that's all this fan base wanted, and that's what you're going to see. And then plus, throw in the late start on a Friday night, it's going to be a fun night.
All right, Sean, enjoy it. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, have fun,
bud. You got it, guys.
All right, pal.
Sean Grandy joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline here on Solak at Bertrand, 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls. Also, in case you missed it last night, what happened to the Red Sox in Chicago?
Oh.
Yeah.
You like steak?
That might give you an idea.
Do you like steak?
That might give you an idea. We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Without Solak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up? What's up?
With Solak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's a high fly ball into right center field, racing back Bradley. All the way back, that ball is gone.
Whoa!
A walk-off by Delmonico, and the White Sox break the Red Sox hearts tonight on a miserable night in Chicago. That's certainly how it ends.
What a backbreaker.
What was this pitch? Is that a slider? He left a slider up out over the plate, and Delmonico got on it just out of the reach of Jackie. Two of them are in the same spot tonight. Jackie sizes it up, goes for the leap in the catch, and it's just out of his reach. Three-run bomb. That air by Devers really broke their back, and they took advantage of it.
Yes, they did. 6-4, the final score. A shocker. TC here in Chicago.
You know, every time we say good things and nice things about the Red Sox, they make you regret it. That's been the story of their season. Every time you start to feel good about them, they give you a reason not to. Your 2019 Boston Red Sox, who now in the month of May, continue to take steps back after taking steps forward and continue to lose to teams that they have no business losing to. And last night, clear-cut example of their bullpen not being good enough and not having a closer hurts you. And a lot is being made today of Devers making an error at third base in the ninth inning. A lot is being made of this play. Should have been a routine ground ball, and he boots it. He reached down, flips the ball up out of his glove. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know if he was thinking he was going to try and flip it from his glove to his throwing hand. I don't know. I don't know if he just was too strong on like swinging his arm down to scoop the ball. But either way, he boots it at third. There's one out, and Ryan Brazier then completely falls apart after the error. One out in the inning, Red Sox up a run. I'll tell you what, Ryan Brazier left no doubt about it by grooving an 83-mile-an-hour slider.
To who? Chippy Delmonico?
To
Tommy Delmonico? Billy Delmonico? Jim, what were some of the names you came up with in the back room?
Could be any name Delmonico.
Johnny T-Bone?
Yeah. Johnny T-Bone?
Yeah. Nick Delmonico. Nicky Delmonico, who puts it over the fence in right center.
Yeah, Tommy Sirloin?
Over a running Jackie Bradley Jr., who had his glove turned the wrong way, and he wasn't in the right spot to get it anyway. But either way, that's neither here nor there.
All the way back.
I mean, I'm not sure Ryan Brazier could have possibly given him a better pitch to hit.
He golfed it, too.
Just like, Gotta wait a little. I gotta hold back on this a little bit before I swing.
Yeah, like when people,
make sure I don't get too aggressive here.
Yeah, like when people clown around
like
on tennis courts.
Like slow pitch softball.
No,
swing too early.
No. It's like when people clown around on tennis courts. They're like, oh, I'm gonna hit a moon rocket. You know, I'm gonna golf it with a tennis ball, with a tennis racket. I'm gonna hit a tennis ball. I'm gonna knock it over the fence. That's what it was like. A moonshot.
So put that in the column of the Red Sox don't have a closer, therefore they lost the game. Put that in that one.
But Fortnite is not banned, though, right? So we clarified that.
So here's the other issue from yesterday is the Red Sox they lose on the road, walk-off fashion in Chicago. And again, I put it on the pitching. I put it on the bullpen. I don't hold Rafael Devers responsible for the loss, although you never like to see an error like that. I don't hold him responsible. That's not the reason they lost. Giving up a 3-run home run is the reason they lost.
It's also a little on Price, too. Price had a 3-2 lead in the sixth and gave up that tying run. And that's when I turned it off. I was like, all right, I'm not staying up for this. He just gave up the lead in the sixth. Like, the starters have to keep the lead, too.
I agree with that. That's not an unfair thing to say. So apparently there is no ban on Fortnite in the clubhouse. There is no ban. It was not banned. David Price came out yesterday and said that, no, there's not an actual ban.
They're just stunned by even the accusation of it.
They've just chosen not to play. Here's the quote from David Price from Pete Abe yesterday. There is no ban on Fortnite. That's not true. It was a fad. He further explained that it was a fad. They don't play it as much, but some guys do on occasion. There is no ban. That's not true.
Felt like Shaughnessy had more on that yesterday, huh?
Yeah, Shaughnessy knew something when he was in here yesterday, because when we said to him, when we said to him that they, oh, you know, Bradford had the story that, you know, there's a...
Who's the source?
Yeah, oh, who's the source on that? And we're like, multiple players, according to Bradford's story. Oh, yeah? Well, who said it? Who said they can't play anymore? I'm like, I don't know. It says the team decided. Oh, so the players decided? Did the manager decide? Whoa. Did the coach, front office, ownership? Who? And I'm like, well, that's actually a good question.
Yeah.
It doesn't specify. You're right. So Shaughnessy was right in trying to. Shaughnessy came in here yesterday. If you didn't hear it, he was trying to poke holes in Bradford's story. And he wasn't a jerk about it, but he was poking holes in the fact that Bradford's story left some things unanswered.
Who were the top three scorers on the Bruins team? Is that accurate?
Stop
Did they
it.
Win? They won last night, right?
Yes.
Did they win? What was the change? Who was in the first line? Did they win?
That's not good. Stop it, Jim. Stop it.
That was terrible.
So he comes in yesterday, and Shaughnessy is trying to poke holes in this story that Bradford wrote. And then yesterday, after Price comes out and says that there's no ban, and Sam Kennedy said yesterday that he doesn't know anything about a ban when he did his radio. And I guess he does a weekly radio thing. Wouldn't know. Haven't heard it. Bradford is like, I never wrote that there was a ban. I'm like, well, I guess you didn't use the word ban. But Nathan Eovaldi, in the quotes in your story, said it's a rule. He called it a rule.
Rule.
Right?
Yeah.
He said it was a rule. Yeah. And he wrote in his story that it isn't unique considering the ban that the Blue Jays had in place for Fortnite and for video games. So you compare it to the ban the Blue Jays have in place.
Extremely misleading article, man.
Eovaldi called it a rule. Given the context that you put it in your story, it led people to believe there was a ban. Is that such a reach?
No.
Like, to put it back on the readers, like, oh, you idiots. Stop it. And the other people that got their backs up in defense of it yesterday, can't you just say, oh, sorry, should have been more clear. I didn't mean to suggest there was a ban.
I've read it.
There wasn't an
times.
Actual ban.
But David Price is saying
everyone's just so bitchy on Twitter.
Well, David Price saying no ban at all. This sounds like a guy who still wants access to Fortnite.
Should sounds a little defiant, right?
Should he decide to go back on that fad and like, hey, I don't know if I told you, but I'm the card holder, bitches, and I didn't give up my Fortnite card.
Yeah.
Not after the way I pitched in the postseason. I got the Fortnite card still here in my hip pocket.
The Trump card. He's got the Trump card now. And I even asked Dan, I'm like, well, wait a minute now. He's the one, and they travel as a team with a TV for him, right? We talked about that yesterday based on how it was written in the article. Like, there was a ban. That's what everybody thought.
No ban.
Play it
whenever you want.
Who said that?
According to multiple players, it was decided by the team that the time used playing the game in the clubhouse has gotten to a point where it was becoming counterproductive to putting their best foot forward on the field.
So that is written as it's decided by the team, not decided by the players.
Evaldi said, quote, "I think everybody in general understands that rule." So
not David Price.
So someone, he's calling it a rule. A rule, a ban. What's the difference? What the hell is the difference there? And again, Shaughnessy was all over that one line where when we read it to him yesterday, he didn't need it read to him. He had already read it.
He knew.
And when I read that line, I said it was decided by the team. Who's the team? Yeah. That doesn't say who the team is. The Red Sox? Who's that?
Did they win?
Is it the players? The manager? Front office? Owner? That doesn't tell me anything. I'm like, I don't know.
It was too many questions, too much information.
Yeah, Shaughnessy knew that it did, that he, you know.
Let me ask you a question.
That it wasn't a ban and didn't want to, you know, I guess jump on the report and say it was false.
Let me ask you a question, Beadle.
What?
Is there ambiguity as to whether or not a Fortnite ban exists in the Red Sox clubhouse?
Absolutely.
Did they win last night?
No.
Nope.
There it is.
What was the change?
Changes ambiguity. 3-2 lead in the sixth. Like
before it was allowed. Now we don't know.
There is ambiguity there.
They lost last, and they lost last night.
They did.
Did they win?
No.
No, they didn't. They did not win. They lost in dramatic fashion.
Jesus.
Walk off 3-run Johnson, as Del Monaco. Call it.
That's sort of like
Del Johnson. Monaco Johnson.
Hey, boy, they had the pyrotechnics fired up ready to go, huh?
In Chicago?
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, for all six people that were there. All six people. By the way, anyone within, I don't know, let's say 15 miles of Boston last night, did you enjoy the fireworks after the Bruins game last night? Did you enjoy that? My windows started shaking at 10:30 last night. I'm like, what the hell? Who has fireworks? Like, what the hell is going on out there?
Sure that wasn't just a dump truck pouring sewage into Boston Harbor?
No.
There in
Quincy Bay?
No. No, there were fireworks in the harbor. There were fireworks.
Someone really lit a match down here.
I'm like, you know what?
Get that hydraulic up and really shake it to get all the poop out of the back. And they dump it into the ocean there in Quincy.
You got to do it at night when no one's looking.
That's right.
You got to do it under the cover of darkness.
All right. Boom, boom. That back flap is just banging metal on metal.
Hurry up. Boom. I see a car light.
Boom. It's still trickling out, Charlie.
Boom. Boom. You got to hose that off the dock.
Wow, we're just going to fill it up again in the morning.
Jesus.
Siphoning water off a fire hydrant illegally. 617-779-0985. Let's get back to your calls coming up next. We got some open phone lines if you want to grab one on this Friday here on Zolak and Bertram.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Krug holds it in. Now it's stolen away. And it's Boone Jenner shorthanded. Marshawn is up the ice with him and takes him off the puck and commits a penalty in the process. Penalty shot, Bob.
We got a penalty shot for Boone Jenner here on Tuukka Rask.
Boone Jenner is a left-handed shooter. When the Blue Jackets go to a shootout, he's normally not one of the guys that gets into the lineup. He can up his stock right here. He picks it up at center ice, comes in over the blue line, angles hard to the right wing circle, now slows down, shoots, and missed the net. Penalty shot, Bob.
Oh, I love that.
Penalty shot, Bob.
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 My son, Bob.
That's my color guy, Bob.
Bob.
He'll be Bob, the entertainer.
That's my analyst,
Bob! 617-779-0985, the telephone number. Let's go to your calls. Mike's in Everett. Mike?
Hello, fellows.
What's up?
Hello, fellow.
Question for you about... Hello?
Yeah.
Question for
hey, how you
about,
doing?
Pathetic. I'm doing well. How are you, boys?
Mike and Everett, you're up next. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Mike.
I'm here, boys. I'm here.
Oh, what's up, Mike?
How pathetic was it, Pasternak's phantom shot when he took a shot, he looks down at his stick, and the puck's 5 feet behind him.
Mike, how long have you been watching hockey?
Since 1970.
Have you ever seen that?
I have never seen that. I can't skate. And if I took a shot like that, I'd retire.
Yeah, it's funny us sitting here to critique it because, like, I've never been in that spot or I'd never have attempted to play hockey.
No, I'd say 1970. That's a pretty good sample. That's nearly 50 years of watching hockey, and you've never
seen it. Right on, man. Yep, I was 4 years old when they won the first cup, and I knew all the players on the team. It was a hockey town back then. And then one more question for you. Did they win?
Nice.
Good job, Mike.
That was good.
Good job. Yeah, that was strange. Something might have, it might be something to do with getting shot up before the game. And maybe that does mean he's hurt, which would certainly explain some things. It really would
explain some things, but it wouldn't explain then why is he running point on a power play. You know what I mean? That's a real indicator.
It wouldn't explain why his coach is like riding him on the bench and then sort of getting after him a little bit. I mean, he's sort of telling what happened in game. Saying he's got to go through the maturity process, which could be code for. This is what I think it could be code for. Jim, if we could cue up Cassidy again on Pastrnak. I think it could be code for he's learning how to play hurt at this time of year because everybody plays hurt at this time of year. That's what it takes to get through the NHL playoffs and get to the finals and win a cup. Everyone's got to do that. You've got to sacrifice your body to do it. Here it is.
Pasta went back out on the other group. We're not going to bury him. He's always going to be on the power play. If he stops working and doing some other things, then we'll look at that. But right now, I don't see that. I wish he was harder on the puck in front of our bench in the second period. The only thing I said to him, if you're going to keep it in, we've got four forwards out there. You got to be committed to keep it in and, dig in and take a hit or whatever you have to do there. That was the only dissatisfaction I had with him. He muffed some plays. He's, there might be a comfort level there. I don't know what's going on there. It's not like him. I think he'll play his way out of that, but he does have to compete hard on those pucks, and that was the message to him and my only criticism of him.
Okay, after hearing that again, like for the fourth time, what's comfort level mean? That could be a comfort level thing for him. That's dealing with pain to me or working through something physically. Comfort is a physical thing, right? It's not really a mental thing at this point. He just told you there ain't no change. There's no changes coming for tomorrow night. He's going to be on that power play. We're not going to bury him. Could be a comfort thing. That was a little indicator there.
Cassidy giving the indication today, saying flat out that Backes is in again tomorrow night, just so we know lineup wise.
Should be.
I mean, you're talking about doing a little bit of shuffling, Pastrnak back on the top line, Backes back in. With apologies to Michelle in Londonderry, could it be a variety of factors that contributed to the win last night? Not the least of which being they kept the puck out of their zone for extended periods of time. Even the second period, which I was back and forth. I watched, I listened, and then I watched a lot this morning. I had a concert to go to last night.
Oh.
So I heard a lot of it in the car, and I heard a lot of the stuff from Jones afterward. And I heard some of the some of the commentary about a bad second period again. So I sat down, all right, I'm just gonna watch second period start to finish this morning and see what it was. I don't think the Bruins had a bad second period. They didn't score in the second.
Mm-hmm.
But did you think the second period was a bad period for them last night, the way it was in game three or game two?
That was their best second period of the
series. I thought they played just fine that period.
Right.
Is that accurate?
No, it's inaccurate to say they had a bad second period last night because they kept things moving. They didn't allow multiple chances in front of Tuukka. That Tuukka was fantastic, and he had to stop a lot of those shots.
Yeah.
But they cleared the puck out. After, he stopped some great shots.
Yeah.
But they didn't get two, three, pops at him. They were moving the puck in and out of their zone. They were moving it. It was a good back-and-forth hockey game. It was a better game than the final suggests at 4-1. Like Zell predicted for tomorrow night, 3-1. It won't be that close. Last night's game was a 4-1 game. That was not that big of a difference.
Sean is in the car. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey. So I wanted to talk about that Brady contract extension you guys were referencing earlier. I know there's a rule in the NFL where an NFL veteran player cannot have his contract reworked until 12 years has gone by since his last deal. And I believe Brady's was done in August of 2018. So we wouldn't really find out that information until August of this year.
All right. Not true. And I'm just going to clear this up, though, because we've taken this call 400 times. All right. So Brady did a rework in 2018. And you meant to say 12 months, not 12 years. Here's the deal. As long as Brady doesn't get additional compensation in the 2019 league year, okay, the 2019 league year, which is
just
the current,
this year.
Current league year, he is free to go ahead and sign another extension. That's the simplest way of putting it. They can't add on new money in the current league year. If that's how they want to keep it, they're good to go. If they wanted to add more money this current year, in this coming season,
yep,
they have to wait until August. Mm-hmm. That's the simplest way of putting it. And that's the easiest way for everybody to understand this. But to say that he is unable to sign a deal right now is factually incorrect. As long as you, so you could say, don't touch this year, and you do just a straight extension where you're adding years on, you're fine. Even if you want to reduce money in this year, you're fine. You can change the money in this year. You just can't add money to this year. Right. That's the rule.
Correct.
So you can't front load it, which they're not going to do anyway.
Right.
What's the compensation this coming year? What's the number?
14.5.
14.5. Do you think they want to add money to that number in this current year?
Probably don't.
And what's the cap number already?
22.5.
Yeah, they're not adding this year. That wouldn't be a consideration anyway.
You're gonna give them a $40 million base next year.
So you don't want to. It's not really anything you'd have to worry about. Okay, so it's not something you have to worry about. If you really want to dig in deep on this, CBA Article 13, Section 8. There you go. You want to go look it up for yourself. That's where it's all covered. If you want to dig deep,
I do not.
Go deep. Dig deeper. Check it out for yourself. Burt Breer has reported on this. Jeff Howe has reported on this.
I trust you.
I checked in with an NFL agent on this.
You did the deep dive, so we don't have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
There it is.
Good?
Yeah.
Good.
Good.
I'm fine with that.
Headlines. And then, with it being noontime on a Friday, little Josie for you coming up in 90 seconds.
That's my son,
Bob.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.